Hi, I'm Andy Finn, and I am begging you to listen to my show at www.andyfinn.us.
The Andy Finn Show, Uncommon Talk Radio.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show. I promised to talk a little bit about 20 percenters in this segment. So, 20 percenters are easily spottable. These are the 20% of people on the far right and the 20% of the people on the far left that are, frankly, ruining this country for you and me. You know, there are 60% of us in the center, and I'm just making these numbers up. They're round numbers. What can I tell you? But they're easy to grasp the concept because the 60% in the center has a lot more to do or to say about the government and how we live than the 40% on the extremes. At least it used to. The center still drives the country, but we don't drive the dialogue anymore. What has happened is that we've now got this crowd on TV that goes out of their way to, what's the right way to put it? I mean, they want to have controversy or conflict. That's what sells. So they put extreme right and extreme left on TV. That's not how you solve problems. Of course, the television news networks are not interested in solving problems per se. They're interested in ratings, and that's their job. But as a country, we ought to be interested in solving problems. And so you do see people that want to try to get away from the partisanship and everything that's going on. But 20 percenters are the key because these are the folks that are out at the extremes of the political distribution. Now, you can pick any issue and there are 20 percenters about that issue. But I'm just saying across the board, people who are extremely partisan, that is, they put on a set of lenses that are either, let's say, Republican or Democrat, or they put on conservative lenses. Maybe you put on conservative lenses. Maybe you put on liberal lenses when you get up in the morning. But you view everything through those lenses. So you only have to listen to some of these talk show hosts a couple of minutes. You know, Rush Limbaugh or a Michael Savage. He is extremely far out there. And you realize very quickly that they put on a set of lenses in the morning and they just filter everything through it. Now, we all do that to some extent, but the trick is to be able to change lenses and to be able to see different perspectives. And when you're a 20 percenter, you limit your ability to do that. People who are closer to the center of any issue have a more balanced view. But my argument about the 60% in the middle is this, that I'm left to center, but I'm not a 20 percenter. I'm in that 30% between 20% and 50%, right, near the center. And I have more in common with the 30% just right of center that help us make up the 60% in the middle. I have a lot more in common with them than I do with the 20% on the far left, on my left. And the Republicans who are moderate, or moderate conservatives, right of center moderates, they have more in common with left of center moderates than they do with the extreme right. But what happens in the political arena is you work with the people on your side to get your candidate elected because we only have two. That's why I do think a third party is a good idea in this country. You know, you don't hear it discussed much. And when it does come up, a lot of the pundits inside the Beltway insist that the two-party system is the only way. And that it's always worked for us, and that a third party's never caught on. Well, those last two things are true, but I really think the problem we've got in this country, in part, is that we only have two sides to an issue. We know there are more than two sides. And so, well, I mean, look at how, you know, a party can be held hostage by a large constituency. And so, you know, Republicans are constantly saying that the African-American vote is taken for granted by Democrats. But African-Americans continue to vote 90% for Democrats. But they're not always happy about it because Democrats do take them for granted. A little Freudian slip there. So they could easily break off with other groups and form some other kind of party. It's the same with the religious right. You know, they're not happy time after time that Republicans treat them like saps, and they get their votes, they throw them a few judges, but they don't give them the rest of the social agenda that they said during the campaign they would work towards. But they didn't say how hard they were going to work towards it. But if you could splinter off a few of these interest groups, and I'm not picking just on those two. Let's take labor on the Democratic side. Let's take big business on the Republican side. You know, we can go on and on. If those organizations had someplace else to go when they were dissatisfied with the platform or the position of particular candidates, they would defect and support somebody else. And so we might not get a president elected on a first ballot, but you'd see compromise in politics. You know, the danger you run is what Bush did. He got in 2001, and even though he won the closest election in history, some would say too close to call, some would say, what do you mean won? But even though we installed him in office in the closest election in history, he governed from the right. He had a chance to get in and say, you know, I'm going to invite a couple Democrats into my cabinet, and I'm going to govern from the center and pass bills where we can get a large majority because the country's divided, and I just barely... No, they didn't say that. They said, we're in. This is a chance to press our advantage and our conservative agenda. Now, a certain amount of that you expect from any president, right? They want their agenda. But this administration came in with a serious attitude problem. Then September 11th happens. The whole country rallies behind them. And what did they do? In your mind, how do you interpret that? What did they do when they had the country united after 9/11? Well, the kindest thing you can say is they blew it. Because by going into Iraq, when the country was split, and when they couldn't get the backing of the rest of the world through the UN, we went in alone, and they said, it'll be relatively easy, and besides, he's a threat to the United States homeland. So we go in. So I'm not going to rehash all of that right now, but when we get back to 20%ers, one of the things that happens is 20%ers stifle debate. I mean, I heard these guys taking on Al Gore. I didn't hear them discussing substantive things. Well, they would say things like, he says the water could rise 20 feet. It's not going to rise 20 feet. They're right. It's not going to rise 20 feet. But he's not claiming it will. He says it could. I think that's what he said. In any case, I'm not here to defend Gore. He may overstep the science. But what's interesting is that the right-wingers and the 20%ers have leapt on Gore, and they're equating global warming with Al Gore and saying global warming is wrong because Al Gore says X. No, no. Let's not forget the lines of literature in the hundreds of different journals, publications, and journal, different separate journals that bring evidence to bear on this issue. So it's interesting to watch conservatives continue to deny global warming. I don't understand why this part of science is so important for them to deny, except I guess they don't trust science. It's part of the conspiracy theory of 20%ers. And actually, I didn't get to this criterion, and I didn't get to the whole list of criteria for how you tell a 20%er. So there are a number of ways that you can tell if someone in your life or a pundit that you like or don't like is a 20%er. First of all, a 20%er has absolute beliefs. When you hear them talk, you know that they are absolutely certain about certain things. And there's no room for debate there, right? In that situation, there isn't going to be. That's a problem. You can't actually have a conversation with somebody that has absolute beliefs. You can let them talk, and then you can talk, but you can't have a conversation about it because there's no listening on the other side, I don't believe, usually, because the mind is made up. So you can't really have an open discussion about something with which someone has an absolute belief. So one rule on my show is you want to come on and talk, just don't talk to me about your absolute beliefs. Because what can I say? If you believe it, absolutely, go for it. But include me out as Cecil B. DeMille said. I think it was him. No, it might have been Fred Goldwyn or one of those mayor boys out there in Hollywood in the early days. In any case, second way you identify a 20%er, not only do they have absolute beliefs and are certain they are right, they are certain that the other side is wrong. I guess those two go together. And they usually infer nefarious motives to the other side. The other side is not acting in good faith. The other side is taking partisan political advantage. Like in the Iraq War, right? We had only pure motives going into Iraq. We aren't after their oil or deals with their oil or anything. But we thought that the reason France didn't want to go to war in the Middle East, the reason Russia didn't want to go to war in the Middle East, and the reason Germany didn't want to go to war in the Middle East was because they liked the deals they had with Iran, Iraq currently for the money, for the oil and the oil for food and everything else. So we have pure motives and they don't. We know how this works in attribution and attribution theory. We do have tend to have this self-serving bias. That is, each individual, I'm talking to you, has a self-serving bias. When something good happens to us, we tend to think, well, we worked hard, we deserve that kind of a thing. When something bad happens, we say, oh, outside forces kept me from completing what I said I would do. But with other people, it's the opposite. When something good happens, we say, well, you know, they had a certain amount of luck. Yeah, it's okay, but, you know, they were in the right place at the right time. More power to them. But we don't really see that as the accomplishment we see for ourselves, typically. It's the same when there's a failure on someone else's part. We tend to say, well, you know, they just weren't up to the job. You know, they were canned, and so now they'll go back to another job, and they'll settle in, and that's just their limits. And we're very matter-of-fact about that. Not so when it happens to us. Oh, man, my boss really shafted me. If only I'd been given 3 more months. You know, I was brought into a tough situation, and it just wasn't working. You know, it isn't going to work out that quick. I mean, I got to have a little more time. Plus, Julie was undermining me with the boss, and people go on, and we have excuses. So 20%ers tend to blame the other side for things and see them as less than honest, even though 20%ers on the other side are their mirror image. Keep that in mind. The third thing you can pretty much assume is that 20%ers have conspiracy theories. That kind of goes in hand with what I just said, but it's really interesting to listen. I mean, it's real obvious with somebody like Rush Limbaugh. You know, he's convinced the media is, oh, that's an interesting thing in itself. You know, the 20%ers on the right believe that the media is biased against conservatives. And they believe it still is, even though whatever bias there may have been has long ago been corrected with all the additional conservative talk that is out there. And I'm not talking just talk radio. You know, the latest studies of the Sunday morning shows show that they are heavily Republican and conservative and have been for years. Given that, it's interesting that Republicans, or, you know, 20%ers on the right, 20% Republicans, 20% are conservatives, all whine, they continue to whine about the mass media. Whatever happened to personal responsibility? Basically, if you have a message and it's not getting out to the American people, you blame the media? You think your message is so superior to the Democrats' message? Why can't you get it out despite the media if it's that good? In other words, take responsibility for your message. If it's not getting across to the people, you take responsibility for that. What could you do differently that would have it get across? But if you just say, oh, it's the media's fault, you're saying, oh, well, the only reason we're not in control, the only reason I haven't made $1 million in my life is that the forces of the world are arrayed against me. I mean, that's the kind of crap that conservatives and Republicans always see through when people bring that weak stuff forward. And they always say, you got to have intestinal fortitude. And yet, they got this whole conspiracy about media bias. Anyway, conservatives and liberals on the far right also, you know, the liberal conspiracy theories about George W. Bush are interesting, right? That he knew about 9/11 and let it happen, all that crap. That's such nonsense, right? But there are conspiracy theories on both sides. And then finally, and this is really the most damning thing of all, a 20%er, doesn't matter if you're on the right or the left, cannot articulate the position on the other side. If you ask somebody who's a 20%er about, let's say, immigration, and they're a hawk on stopping illegal immigration, ask them to put forth the best case argument on the other side for allowing a amnesty or a liberal immigration program, whatever you call it, right? The current Bush Democrat proposal, whatever you call it. And they cannot articulate that other view. And the reason is that they're so used to knocking down straw men proposals, fantasies of what the other side believes. Because either when they read it in a reputable newspaper, their filters don't let them process it. Or worse, they listen to a right-wing talk show host like Limbaugh or Liddy or somebody. And they're convinced that it's a very simple black and white thing, and how could anybody be so stupid but to believe the other side? What they don't know is they don't know the arguments behind it. So that's why 20%ers are actually quite easy to have conversations with, because they don't have their facts straight and they're not well informed. It's usually true on the right and the left. So anyway, I'm going to leave the discussion of 20%ers there, and we will come back to 20%ers another night. Oh, another night, probably in a week, because 20%ers are kind of at the heart of what we do. They're causing the world's problems, I'm telling you. The Andy Finn Show will be back next Monday at 10 p.m. on WEBR. In the meanwhile, you can check out my website at andyfinn.us. That's U.S. as in the United States. We'll see you next week, and remember, do it. Don't doubt it.